chose for me.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Jones, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the music service this morning, the congregational singing, and one of the things I hope that you'll make a habit of doing is listening to good music. What it does to the spirit of an individual to prepare them for the preaching and prepare them for the Word of God, I've learned to practice that. This morning in my office, I was listening again just to some good Christian music, trying to just minister to my soul and prepare me for the worship service. Listen, if anybody ought to be prepared for the worship service, the preacher better be prepared, right? And so, listen, I'm just trying to get prepared every morning by listening to some good music and letting it just minister to my spirit. Well, we better get used to listening to good music. We're going to listen to a lot of good music once we get to heaven. And there's going to be almost a continual music service that will be going on, and it'll all be praising and worshiping Jesus Christ. Won't be any of this stuff that's lifting up man. It'll all be lifting up the Lord. And so, listen, folks, there's all kinds of good ways that you can prepare for church. Every Sunday morning, every Wednesday, get ready to come to the house of God. Hey, listen, we ought to be excited, as David said. Listen, we ought to be happy. We ought to be joyful when we wake up Sunday morning and listen and realize it's Sunday. It's time to go to the house of the Lord and worship God together with born-again believers and folks that come in. And listen, I hope you're prepared for a good time this morning. Take your Bible, Numbers chapter 14, if you would. Numbers chapter 14. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter number 14. And we're going to read the first five verses together of Numbers chapter 14. While you're finding your place, let me just make a couple of comments to try to expedite things while you're looking for your place. Israel has now come. God has promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. The report has come back, yes, it is flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants in the land. And there are people there that are much greater than we, and the report came back that they were but grasshoppers in the sight of these giants that actually dwelt in the land. And you'll know, if you know the story well enough, you'll know that Moses sent out 12 spies. Two came back and said, let's go in. We can take these rascals. Why? Because God is on our side. And you know what? They had recalled, they remembered all the wonderful things that God had done. And they thought, why would God bring us this far and let us down now? Let's go in at once and claim the land. But there were 10 knuckleheads that decided they couldn't go in. They had forgotten all the things that God had done for them up to this point. They said, no, yes, it's like God said. It does flow with milk and honey. There is great prosperity there. But we're not going to be able to go in because we found out there's giants in the land. And we can't defeat them. We can't go in because they're bigger than we are. And you know what? we're just not going to be able to go in and possess it. It was good to ride while it lasted, but it looks like it's going to come to an end. And may I say to you, the people listen to the 10 rather than the 2. And may I say to you, many times we as born-again believers, you know what we'll listen to? We'll listen to the majority, many times, who's very seldom right. And we'll listen to the majority of what's going on, and we'll forget to go back to the Word of God and find out, what does the Word of God say? What does God want us to do? God said, go in, I've given you the land. Well, they've come to this point now, and the news has come that, folks, it just doesn't look like we're going to be able to go in. There's just too much opposition to go in and claim the land. When you read your Bible, and those of you that are following through the Bible, reading through the Bible with us this year, you will find in the course of your reading that this one story about God's deliverance of the people of God from Egyptian bondage is the story that is referenced more than any story in the entire Bible. Why? So many lessons that we can learn about what's going on in our lives today. And that's what I want to do. I want to take what we read this morning, and as we go through some things, make some applications to us today as far as the spirit and attitude that the Israel had when they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. And I want to preach to you this morning about Egypt is calling. Egypt is calling. Would you stand with me together out of love and respect for the Word of God? Numbers chapter 14. And if you'll follow along silently as I read aloud. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why? Because of the bad news. The news that the 10 spies said we can't, 2 said we could. They believed the word of the 10. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And I want to take these 5 verses, using verse 4 as our text verse, where the people of God said, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Father, would you bless the time that we have together this morning, and would you open our heart and our spirit to what you would have for us today. I pray, Father, that as we look in and examine the Word of God this morning, teach us some lessons. Give us something, Holy Ghost of God, that we can adhere to and that we can take with us this morning and put to practice, not only in our personal life, but in our families and our Christian life as well. Thank you again for teaching us from the Word of God, and because it is for our learning. And we have something this morning, Lord God, to learn, each one of us. And I pray that you'd bless the time, and would you do your work, Holy Ghost of God, as you promised that you would. And we'll give you the glory for what shall be the outcome of this service today, in Jesus' name. Amen, and you can be seated. No other people in the history of the world have experienced the blessings of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God more than the nation of Israel. You see, they were His chosen people. They were the people that God used as a heritage. They were the people that God loved deeply. Matter of fact, they were the people that God had desired to use to reach the entire world with the truth. Israel was God's choice to represent Him as an ambassador to the entire world. You see, to be His example, they were to be His mouthpiece. They were to be the ones that would cover and carry the wonderful words of life to the entire world. Well, in order for God to prove to them that He was trustworthy and faithful, what He did is He delivered them from over 400 years of bondage to the nation of Egypt. You see, He manifests His power and might through these miraculous plagues that He brought on the nation of Egypt. And folks, listen, we don't have time to go back and rehash each one, but you need to go back and read what God did for the people of God. and use those plagues and use those miracles to literally cause Pharaoh to allow them to be released and go. And by the way, on their way out, the Egyptians said, here, take everything. We just want you to go. Take what we have. Go, leave, bye, adios. We want you out. Well, God used all of that in such a miraculous way that the people of God had confidence. And may I say to you, in those initial days, do you think when they left Egypt, they weren't singing and whistling and excited about being free? Absolutely they were. Hey, in those early days, they were excited about what God was doing. They were excited about freedom. May I say something? Let me make an application here. Remember the early days after you got saved? Remember how excited you were and how, man, everything was just all new and everything was positive. Well, it didn't take long for us to get negative, did it? And may I say to you, it didn't take them long to get negative either. What happens, folks, we forget what God does for us in our life. We forget how good He is. We forget how blessed we are to be alive and live in such a wonderful country as America. We forget that we have the freedom to come to church. We forget that we have the whole canon of Scripture given to us in the English language where most of the world doesn't even have a Bible in their hand today. We forget all of that. We take for granted a lot of things that we enjoy today. Well, as they marched out of Egypt, everybody was excited. Everybody was thrilled about the goodness of God and how God had provided for them in their life. You see, when we reach Numbers chapter 14, much time now has gone by. God's deliverance, His miracles, His judgments, His provisions, and His promises all seemed but a dream now. Because they had reached the final point of destination to go into the land. They now were faced with entering the promised land that God had given them. 12 spies had gone out and spent 40 days searching the land. And after they examined the land, they came back. Only 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, it's exactly what God said it was. It's exactly a life flowing with milk and honey. Let's go in and possess it at once. Let's go in with the power of God and claim what God has given us for our possession. Let's go in at once. I can imagine that there were some that were there and they said, yes, yes, yes. Let's go in and claim the promised land that God's given us. Remember after, shortly, if you're a believer this morning, remember shortly after you got saved and man, it was just, you came to church and just everything that was preached, you just absorbed. Everything that was said, you just inhaled into your being, and you say, yes, 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 the Christian life is going to be the best thing that's ever happened to me. And you say, I'll go in and I'll claim it. I'll do whatever I need to do, preacher, to be what God wants me to be. Unfortunately, these 2 were in the minority. Only 2 of the 12 came back with a positive report. I wonder how many born-again believers today are going out of the world and giving the Lord a positive report about your Christian life. And about the goodness of God, and about how wonderful God is. I wonder how many of us go out into the workplace or into our neighborhood and give God a good report about what's going on in our life and how good He is. Boy, I'm telling you, we're quick to complain about God and about what He's not doing instead of what He is doing. Hey, I'm telling you, you know what? The whole world's looking for a good report. They're looking for somebody to come back and tell them, yes, the Christian life is exactly everything God said it was. It's wonderful. It's blessed. His favor is there. Well, they were in the minority. Just like, unfortunately, in way too many churches across America, those types of Christians that glorify God, that lift Him up, are in the minority. 10 of them came back and said, you know what? It is everything God said it was, but I just don't think I can live it. I just don't think I can claim it. And we just don't think we can go in and do what God said that we could do. You see, let me tell you, stop and say something quickly this morning. You're right. You can't live the Christian life by yourself. That's the reason when God saves you, He gives you the Holy Ghost of God that lives in you, and He guides you and teaches you all truth. That's the reason you have to follow Him. That's the reason you have to submit to Him. The Christian life was never designed to be lived in the flesh. It was never designed for you to live it and accomplish it by yourself. That's the reason When they faced the promised land, the 10 only saw the outward appearance. Two of them saw what God can do. Two of them realized, you know what? We didn't get into this thing without God, and we're going in with God, so help us. You see, the other 10 saw, well, we can't do it because they took God out of the equation. Two of them saw and said, boy, I'm telling you, I've seen God do some incredible things. Matter of fact, not too long ago, I saw Him split a Red Sea. I'm telling you, I saw Him split one wide open, and we went across some dry ground. Listen, I wonder how many of them, when they went across the Red Sea, I wonder how many of them stopped, and they said, listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick me up a rock or two and put it in my pocket as a token of remembrance, and I'm going to set it on my mantle so every day that I wake up, I can see, glory to God, I walked across the Red Sea. There's a rock from the bottom of the sea. You see, I wonder how many of us walk through life and grab a hold of something in your life and say, listen, God did this for me. And you keep it in the forefront of your life so that every day that you wake up, you can see it, you can remember it and say, God did this for us, kids. God did this for us, husband. God did this for us, wife. Wonder how many maybe took a little rock, put it in their pocket as they walked across the Red Sea. Said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to show this to my kids and grandkids, and boy, I'm going to show them what God did. You see, it wasn't too long before this that God gave them water out of a rock. Yeah. You say, out of a rock? Yeah, God gave them water out of a rock. Hey, it wasn't too long before this God fed them with manna and quail and all of these wonderful things God provided for them. Hey, I'm here to tell you today, God needs a good testimony for Christ today. You say, but listen, I'm around so many people that don't seem to be living for God. Hey, listen, these two men, Joshua and Caleb, they didn't care what the other 10 said. They spoke up for God. They said, let me tell you something. That land's exactly what God said it was. Let's go in and get it. How many of us come to church every morning, every Sunday night, Wednesday night, or even at home and we read our Bible and say, boy, God's good. Isn't God good? But we never go in and claim the promises that God has for each one of us. We come to church and we hear what the preacher said. We say, amen, preacher. Oh, I wish it was true. Oh, I wish what you were saying is true. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. That book that you hold in hand is very true. And all I'm doing is being a mouthpiece for God, just relaying to you the truth. Well, Israel now is facing the promised land, and the reports come back. And I want you to notice how they responded to the report of the 10. The Bible says in verse number 2, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now, it didn't say that 75% of them, or 50%, said they all did. They all murmured against Moses and against Aaron. You say, preacher, why did Israel murmur against the leadership? Well, I think, first of all, that there was a certain degree of fear and uncertainty of the future. Can I say to you that when God led them out of Egypt, Egyptian bondage, that He not only allowed them to cross the Red Sea, He fed them, watered them, He gave them the blessings of God and the favor of God, but now, listen to me, now they looked at, oh my goodness, if we go in, there's going to be some extra things we're going to have to do. You mean we're going to have to be responsible? Am I right? Hey, He had done all these things and now it's time to go in. You mean we got to go in and face giants? We've got to do something in the Christian life? You mean it's not all going to be just handed to me on a silver platter? And the answer is, no, it's not. Hey, yeah, the favor of God's available. Hey, yeah, the blessings of God is available. But Christianity has never been designed for you and I to be saved and sit. It's always designed for you and I to be saved and serve. There is a degree of responsibility that's connected with the born-again life. Well, see, the thing about it is there was some fear and uncertainty of the future. They had lost focus of the big picture, and all they saw, and the only thing they saw, was the obstacle that was before them. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Some of the times when I face obstacles in life as a believer, I don't always just look at the obstacle. I try to find, okay, Lord, You've done all these great things in my life. How are You going to do this one? What is it going to take for You to show Your power and might in this particular situation?
Hey, do you think running a few giants out of the land was going to even measure up to splitting a Red Sea? Do you think running a few giants out of the land and giving them land was going to measure up to the 10 plagues that he did to cause Pharaoh to let them go? Or bringing water out of a rock? When's the last time anybody here set a rock down and said, give me some water, and you got water out of it? You think any of this was going to match it? You think God was not going to be able to run a few heathens out of the land and give it to the people of God when he had done greater works than that in their sight and they had seen them? Hey, folks, listen to me. Isn't it easy in the Christian life, if we're not careful, when something happens, circumstances, situations, and we get focused on the obstacle and we lose sight of the big picture? We lose sight of the big picture of what God not only has done, but what God is doing in the midst of my situation. And they lost focus of the big picture. I think some of them probably thought, you mean we got to go fight? You mean we've actually got to go in and do something to claim this land? Yeah, we're going to have to go in. But here's the wonderful thing about this. When we go in, God's going to be fighting our battles for us. All he needs is our hands. All he needs is our voice. All he needs is our feet. Hey, let me tell you something. The perfect picture of this, when they went in and saw the power of God, the first city that they were confronted with was Jericho. You think they had anything to do with those walls falling? All they had to do was just go in, march around a few times, on the last day, 7 times, blow the trumpets, everybody's going to shout, walls going to fall. I'm sure that somebody already got on their phone and started texting. Huh? Yeah, I'm sure that some of them are probably already communicating to somebody 2 and 3 tenths over. Did you hear what the preacher said? He said, we're going to go in, we're going to march around, the walls are going to fall. Right, right. Wait a minute now, listen to me. What I'm saying is, these are some of not only the same people, but these are some of the offspring of the people that came across the Red Sea, that came out of Egypt, that had water out of a rock, that were fed by manna. Hey, these people weren't ignorant of the power of God. And yet, I'm sure some of them thought, oh my goodness, we've got to go in. We've got to go fight. You mean we're actually going to have to work in the Christian life? You mean God actually expects something from us? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Just like he expected something from them. You see, they allowed the stress of the situation to cause them to entertain irrational thoughts. Let me say that again. I said they allowed the stress of the situation to cause them to have irrational thoughts. And I want you to write this down and think about this and meditate on this afternoon. Irrational thinking leads to unreasonable choices that leads to uncharacteristic actions. Let me say it again. I said irrational thinking leads to unreasonable choices that leads to uncharacteristic actions. That's the reason sometimes when situations engulf a believer, and somebody, a brother or sister, goes astray, or they go to the left, or they go to the right, and you say, boy, out of all the people in the church, I just didn't think they'd be the ones to do that. You know why? Because irrational thinking led to unreasonable choices that led to uncharacteristic actions in their life. That's the reason you've got to guard your thinking. That's the reason you've got to guard your mind, that in situations, all of a sudden, their minds begin to run. They forgot the Red Sea. They forgot the water out of a rock. They forgot the manna. And all of a sudden, give us a captain, we're going back. You see, Egypt's calling. Come back. Come back over here with us. You see, Israel wanted to bail out on God when things didn't go according to their will and their way. The amazing thing is, the scripture says that his thoughts are not your thoughts, and his ways are not your ways. You see, folks, you're not going to figure God out. So stop wasting brain power. Most of us don't have enough brain cells to waste to try to figure God out. You're not going to figure God out. Hey, Christianity is faith-based. At some point, you're just going to have to accept the fact that God's right and we're wrong. You see, God didn't choose the way of least resistance for them. And because God didn't choose the way of least resistance for them, they just decided, you know what, we're not going to follow you no more. Oh, by the way, can I insert something here? If it was left, if right this morning, if we had a secret ballot, and all of us voted, which way do you want God to go in your life? The way of resistance or the way of least resistance? I promise you, most of us would vote the way of least resistance. Well, see, that's what they wanted. They're like, wait a minute, well, it's been the way of least resistance at this point, and now we're going to go in, we're going to have to fight? Work? Till the ground? I thought God loved us. Huh? Isn't that our attitude? I thought God loved me. He does. That's the reason he said we're going to go in, but I'm going to fight the battles for you. I'm going to do all of this for you. You see, God didn't choose the way of least resistance for them, and so all of a sudden they decide, I'm not following you no more. And here was their attitude. Their attitude is this: let's find us someone else that will agree with us. But the problem is, the person they were looking for to agree with them was going to take them back to Egypt. That's what they wanted. They wanted somebody that would agree with them to go back. Hey, I'm telling you, Egypt's calling every person in this room today to come back. Now, let's think for just a moment about this irrational thinking that they were putting together. May I say to you, first of all, to go back to Egypt, when they were in Egypt, folks, they were slaves. You want to go back to bondage? You want to go back to being a slave? You want to go back to no freedom? Hey, the New Testament tells us that type of thinking is foolish thinking. May I say to you, if you're a born-again believer this morning, Jesus Christ has freed you from that. And you're not to go back again and submit yourself again to bondage. That's not the Christian way. Hey, we're not to go back to bondage. Hey, did they think by going back that all of a sudden that the Egyptians are just going to say, come on, you're free? Not at all. By the way, if they were going to go back, how are you going to find your way back? Oh, preacher, no problem. Don't you know? We can just go in our tent, dig a hole in the ground, find a GPS somewhere. We'll find our way back. Is that right? May I remind you that it's God led you out. May I remind you, it's God that sponsored their deliverance from Egypt. Do you think he's going to sponsor their trip back? I said, do you think he's going to sponsor them to go back? He is not going to sponsor them. And by the way, even if they did decide to go back and said, I don't care whether God's going to sponsor me, that, what are you going to eat? Let me remind you, it's God that fed you. What are you going to drink? You forget that rock? Hey, God watered you. Do you understand that everything God did for you when he delivered you out of here, he did himself? You did nothing. So even if you did go back, you think they're going to let you come back without any and just be free, without any reservations of just allowing you to come back? You see, how are you going to find your way back? What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? I'm just saying to you, God sponsored the deliverance out. He's not sponsoring a person to go back on his word. He's not going to. His favor will not be there. Hey, let me tell you something. On that trip back, may I say to you, if you're thinking, you know what, things are so difficult preaching my life, I just don't see God in anything, I think I'm going to call for another captain and I'm going to go back to Egypt. I'm here to tell you, let me tell you something. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? How are you going to get there? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. In this trip back, there ain't no cabin service. There ain't no free drink and a pack of peanuts. Hey, God sponsored that deliverance. And may I say to you this morning that if you're here this morning as a child of God, God sponsored your deliverance in Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hey, let me tell you something. On the cross, he accepted that payment for your sin debt. Hey, God sponsored your deliverance. I'm here to tell you today, Egypt was nothing but a place of captivity waiting for them. By the way, let me say something here and tell you how the irrational thinking continued to follow. Even if they were to go back, even if they were to find themselves back to the Red Sea, how are you going to get across? Because God got you across the first time. He ain't getting you across again to go back. He's the one that split that Red Sea. Hey, remember those little rocks you picked up on the way out? Check them out. Because you ain't getting them more. Because he's not going to split that Red Sea for you again so a person can go back on God and go back into the world. Hey, even if by some miraculous chance that Israel did some miraculous way, made it back to Egypt, Did they actually really think the Egyptians were going to welcome them back? May I remind all of us this morning that it was Israel on their way out that took their valuables from them? Hey, on their way out, you think they're just going to embrace them when on the way out of Egyptian captivity that the people of God took their valuables? That's like somebody coming into your home, breaking your home, stealing all your valuables, and then you bring them back in the house and putting them up room and board. Ain't happening. They're not going to welcome them back. They took everything of value that they had. Let me tell you something this morning. Hey, they were the cause of the loss of property. Israel was the reason they were plagued with frogs and lice and locusts and hailstones and on and on and on. These people were the reason that they were burdened. Think they're just going to welcome them back with open arms? Hey, Israel was responsible. In the Egyptians' eyes, they were responsible for the death of husbands and fathers and brothers. Because if you'll remember, as the soldiers went down in the Red Sea, God said, it's time to close this thing up. There's probably some mamas that lost sons in that thing, wouldn't you think? You think they're going to welcome you back into Egypt? And say, you know what, I appreciate y'all leading my son down in there, and then your God closing up on that. Oh yes, I have a heart. These people are heathens. They're not going to welcome a person back with open arms. Oh, by the way, can I say to you, they're not going to welcome them back because there's probably many, many a mamas and daddies that every day since Israel had left went and visited the little grave of their firstborn child. And you know who they're holding responsible for that? The God of Israel. And so do you think they're going to welcome you back when they visit the grave of their child every day of their life? No, they're not going to welcome you back. And may I say to you today, if you're a born-again believer, and I understand it's tough times, I understand there's situations, but there's nothing, you listen to me, there's nothing worth going back to Egypt for. You think the world's just going to welcome you back? No, they're not. They're going to try to destroy you. They're going to try to make you worse off than you were prior to you even getting saved. Hey, I'm just here to tell you today, folks, listen, there's no way in the world that Egypt was going to welcome them back. And to return was absolute sure death to them. And by the way, they were going to go back without the favor of God. First of all, how are they going to get back? What are they going to eat? What are they going to drink? God's done everything. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, I'm into this thing almost 27 years of being saved. I've looked back in the previous 23 of those years, almost 24 of those years prior to salvation. I thought, you know what? Devil didn't do squat for me. Matter of fact, all he ever did was hurt me. All Egypt ever did was, did nothing but appeal to my flesh. And every time I got involved in something in Egypt, it did nothing but hurt me. I'm just saying, you know what that is? That's irrational thinking. And irrational thinking leads to unreasonable decisions that then follows with uncharacteristic actions. Now, let me say one last thing here this morning. That's this. Egypt calls the loudest. It calls the loudest. And I think most of us in this room have found ourselves in one of these categories at some point in our life. But I found out that Egypt calls the loudest to come back. Get a captain. Come back into the world. Come back to Egypt. I found out it calls the loudest when I'm discouraged. I said, I think it calls the loudest when I'm discouraged. Things don't always work out. The bottom falls out of something and I get discouraged. And you know what Egypt's saying? Hey, come over here. And here's what Egypt will say. It'll say, come over here because that kind of thing won't happen over here. That kind of thing that you're going through, it won't happen over here. You know how many times I've had people tell me that they were happier lost than they've been saved? That's crazy. I've had people literally tell me, they said, preacher, I was happier before I came to Christ and before I got involved in church than I am now. And I said, well, let me tell you why you are. Because when you were lost, you didn't have the devil on your case. And now as a child of God, you're trying to do something like read through the Bible in a year. You know what? He's going to jump your case. You're trying to keep people out of hell. You know what he's going to do? He's going to jump your case. You see, you get right there at the gate of the promised land. You look in. Man, isn't God good? He's given us water. He's fed us. He's let us cross the Red Sea. Oh, it's all been great. Oh, my goodness. And then all of a sudden the word comes back. Yeah, you're going to have to go in now and you're going to have to kick some people out of the land. You mean we got to work at this? You mean once we get in, we're going to have to feed ourselves? Yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But you don't understand. God's blessing, that's His land that He's given you. You see, so many get right there to the edge. So many in this congregation, you're right at the edge of taking the step to a greater faith in your Christian life. And listen to me, don't go back to Egypt. It will call to you the loudest when you're discouraged. May I say, it'll call to you the loudest when you're disappointed. And I'm not talking necessarily disappointing yourself, but people get disappointed in other people. Well, I never thought, preacher, that that would happen. Well, the thing about it is, wake up, read the Bible. You'll find out that there's no person that is not accessible to the attacks of the devil. Egypt calls when we're discouraged. It calls when we're disappointed. May I say, it calls real loud, too, when we get disgruntled. I said it calls real loud when we get disgruntled. And what happens is it calls and says, listen, you know what? You got to listen to that preacher. You don't have to listen. You don't have to do what anything that church says. Come over here. We'll never hold you accountable for anything. And by the way, do you know most of the time when I lived in the world without God, the world didn't make me accountable for nothing. Matter of fact, they supplied all my bad habits. Hey, they helped me follow the path of destruction. God delivered me from that. But boy, people seem to follow and listen to the call of Egypt when they get disgruntled with something, whether it's a job, a church, a person, whatever it may be, they get disgruntled. And boy, the call is really loud when people get disgruntled, when they get disheartened over something, when they get displeased. Things don't always go the way that an individual wants. Can I say to you folks, I'm 50 years old and I'm here to tell you, not everything goes the way I want it to go. I'm talking about even today, things don't always go the way I want them to go. But I'm here to tell you, I ain't going back to Egypt. I'm not finding another captain. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying put. Why? Because I've read the Bible and I found out there's a life that's flowing with milk and honey and it's waiting for every born-again believer. Let's go in and possess it. Hey, but people get displeased. I found out also that Egypt calls real loud when I inherit or I become disagreeable. Now, can I say that it calls real loud when we become disagreeable in our homes? Folks, listen. There's no such thing as a perfect home, a perfect family, a perfect marriage, or a perfect kid. Oh, let me just throw this in there. Or a perfect church. No such thing as one. We're not going to agree with everything. But may I say to you, I guarantee you that most of you in your job don't agree with all the decisions your boss makes either, do you? But you don't go in there and say, hey, I want to tell you something, sir. I don't agree with how you're running this company. I don't agree with how, and you know what? He'll listen to you and listen to you and said, you know what, sir? That's perfectly fine. If you'll see the secretary on your way out, you pick up your last check. See, the thing about it is we treat the church totally different than we treat any other aspect of our life. You're not always going to agree with everything. I don't agree with everything. Sometimes I don't even agree with myself. How can I agree with everybody else? But you know what? God makes us all different. You know, we can actually come to church and enjoy serving God, and we may not agree on every jot and tittle of everything. But you know what? We come to church as brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, that call of Egypt calls real loud when we become disagreeable or disinterested in the things of God. Disinterested in ministry. Disinterested in the Bible. You know what the call? Come on back. Come on back. Or we get disgusted or discontented or distracted. Distracted. You see, the call of Egypt is a call back to a lifestyle contrary to the Scriptures. You see, you're better off to be frustrated in the will of God than to be resistant against the will of God. I'd rather live frustrated inside the will of God than to be resistant against the will of God and live outside the will of God. Because I'm sure when God split the Red Sea, there were probably a few people that said, you know, I don't think I'd have done it just like this. Oh, by the way, it's a little bumpy. Man, life, couldn't God at least paved it for us? I'm sure there were probably some people disagreeable. And it's probably the same crowd said, you know what, we'll find us a captain. We're going to go back. Have at it. But you're going to go back without sponsorship. You see, this morning you're better off to come to Jesus and be saved, although you don't understand everything, than to return to Egypt, to walk out these doors without Christ this morning. You're not going to understand everything in the Bible. Listen, I've been studying this book now for 26 years. I still don't understand all of it. But you know what? I don't pretend to understand all of it. There's a God in heaven that understands all of it, and He's given me basically, and to each one of us, basically all that He wants us to understand. And may I say to you today, that's the reason we come to church to learn. There's no benefits in returning. There's no hope in returning. There's no comfort in returning. To return to Egypt today without considering Jesus is irrational thinking. And irrational thinking will lead to unreasonable decisions that will lead to uncharacteristic action. You see, if you leave this morning without Jesus, you may be walking back. You may be walking into certain destruction, certain death, heartache, misery. And if you die without Christ, certain hell forever and ever and ever. Can I say, the world, Egypt, it doesn't care about you. It doesn't care about your soul. But there's a God in heaven that's willing to save you this morning. There's a God in heaven, if you're a born-again believer this morning, says, hey, listen, there's the promised land. Let's go in. Trust me. Believe in me. Let's go in and possess it this morning. Some of us just need to get back on track with God. And some of us this morning need to come. Don't leave this morning and go back out into the world. You may not have another opportunity. But Egypt is calling. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. How many would say this morning, preacher, no question about it, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've been born into the family of God. Slip your hand up as a testimony. Say, preacher, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I am saved. No question about it. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, thank you for the testimony of these wonderful people. I love seeing the uplifted hands of those that say they're saved and not ashamed of it as a testimony about their Savior. But Lord, there were some that could not raise their hand this morning. My prayer is that they'd not leave today without knowing Jesus. Father, I know the temptation is there. The temptation is to leave. There are some this morning that already know what they're going to be involved in this afternoon, and they're going to let that keep them from getting right, or they're going to let that keep them from coming this morning to be saved. Lord, there's not a person, there's not anything that we could be involved in that's worth sacrificing our own soul and our relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that you would draw those this morning to this altar. Draw them, Lord, to that place. Some that need to be saved, some that need to get right. Whatever the case may be, draw them, I pray, this morning for your honor and glory. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. I cannot honestly say that I've been saved. I don't remember ever putting my faith and trust in Christ. I don't ever remember somebody opening the Bible and showing me how to be saved. You say, but I want to be saved, preacher. I want to go into that wonderful, glorious Christian life and live for God. I want to be saved this morning. How many of you this morning would say, preacher, would you pray for me? I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God, but I need prayer. If you're like that this morning, I want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me, preacher. That's me. God bless you. God bless you. And you can put your hands down. Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. Just slip it up. Say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody else like that? God bless you. And God bless you. You can put your hands down. There's four. Who's going to be the fifth one? Who'll be the fifth? Say, preacher, I cannot remember anyone ever explaining to me how to be saved, but I want to be. I want to be. Anybody else? Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody else? How many are here this morning? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's in the Bible, but I've just never obeyed God in that area. Would you pray with me about that? Slip your hand up. Say, that's me. I've already accepted Christ, but I've never been baptized. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Any other? Any other? Here's one. Who will be the second? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized according to the Scriptures. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, you didn't necessarily hit on a specific area of my life. I just know that where I am in my Christian life right now is not the victorious Christian life. It's not the life flowing with milk and honey that God claims from the Word of God that it can be in my life. And I'm just not entered in. I'm fearful. Maybe you've lost sight of the big picture. Maybe your circumstances, whatever it may be. You say, preacher, I just haven't gone in like I should have and lived the Christian life. Would you pray for me? I need to do that. I need to cross over and live as God desires me to live. I want you to slip your hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. I haven't crossed. I haven't gone in like I should have, preacher. I know it's the right thing to do. All right, God bless you. God bless you. One last thing. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, preacher, we're saved. We've been baptized according to the Scriptures. And we're looking for a place to serve God. We don't have a church home right now. And we need a place to serve God. Would you pray for us about that? Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. Say, we're looking for a place to serve God. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. There's three. You can put your hand down. God bless you. There's four. Anybody else? Say, preacher, pray with me about that. I need a place to serve God. Looking for God's will in my life. All right? God bless you. Father, I'm just going to turn this invitation over to you now. The message has been preached. Lord, you have made the application in the hearts of the people here, and I pray that they would respond to this invitation. Those that raise their hand and are unsure about their soul, please don't let them leave today, Lord. Please, I don't want them to leave today without knowing Christ as their Savior and be settled in their heart about their eternal destiny. Some need to come this morning and be baptized. I pray that they would take a step forward of faith and obey. Some need to come this morning, Lord God, and get their life and heart right, whatever the case may be. And then, Lord, if you lead in some of these dear folks, they believe that this is your will as far as a church home, I pray that you'd lead them in that direction as well. And we'll give you the glory for this invitation time this morning, for we ask it in the wonderful and blessed name of Jesus. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me this morning? The instrument's going to play. I'm going to ask our brother Shaddix to begin to sing our invitation song. If you raise your hand this morning, please let me make an appeal for you to you to come. If you need someone to pray with, you come. Here's a couple of dear folks right here that raised their hand, said they needed to be saved. They came this morning. Who's going to be the next one? Who's going to be the next one? They raised your hand, said, preacher, I need the Lord. I can't honestly say that I'm saved. Would you come? Who's going to be the next one? Who's going to be the next one? Come on. Come on. Who's going to be the next one? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Would you come? Come on. Come on. Who's that going to be? Some of you raised your hand and said, preacher, there's some things in my life, our marriage, our home that needs to be made right. Would you come, please? Please?
In the light of His glory,
don't go back. Egypt's calling this morning. And if we don't surrender, if we don't enter in, I'm here to tell you, folks, some in this congregation today, before the week ends, you're going to be back in Egypt. You're going to be back in the world. There's nothing there for you.